This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I am Wong Xiaoning, and this is the Breakfast Grill. At one point in our lives, most of us would have applied for a car or housing loan. But behind the scenes, whether that gets approved or not actually depends heavily on our credit score. So this morning we have with us Dennis Martin, the Group CEO of CTOS, one of the approved credit reporting agencies in the country, to tell us about their growth plans. Welcome to the show, Dennis. Now, let me start by framing the landscape. Now, CTOS was established in 1990 under the ambit of the Credit Reporting Agency Act, and you're one of the three players, right, that's been approved by Bank Negara to have access to its Central Credit Reference Information System, or CCRIS. So tell me, what's the difference between the service you offer and that of the other two players, I believe Experian and the Credit Bureau of Malaysia?
Yeah, sure. So CTOS has been around for a very long time, as you highlighted. So over that time, we've built up a very large database of information that no one else has. So a lot of it's proprietary. And we have a lot of customers that give us their information. So I think one of our key differentiators is our data. But the other is also that we've spent a lot of time and effort over the last few years building out new products and solutions that no one else has. And that's been pretty exciting for us.
But why would I turn to you for a credit report, honestly, when I can get one for free from CCRIS, which is also Bank Negara? You know, why would I need to pay you? What's so special about the CTOS report?
Yeah, and I think that comes back to the fact that CCRIS only has bank information. So it'll only tell you what's available through the banks that are part of the Bank Negara remit. What we have is information from everywhere else. So if there are relationships with Aon Credit, if you've got relationships with other lenders, if you've got SMEs providing information as well. So we have so much more information. So if you get CCRIS, you're just getting a part of the solution, not everything.
I understand also that that data includes things like even my relationship with the telco operator, for example. Is that true?
Yeah, so we have a lot of data suppliers. We operate a system for the telcos, which helps them to identify whether someone's been a bad paymaster as well.
Okay. And who are your customers? Would it be individuals just curious about their own financial health, or is it institutions doing credit checks on potential customers?
Yeah, it's all of the above, to be honest. In fact, you know, we serve all segments of society here in Malaysia. So our customers include the large banks, corporates, insurance companies, telcos, but also SMEs. In fact, one of our biggest segments of our business is working with SMEs here in Malaysia. And then consumers themselves. So we have over a million individuals signed up to look at their own information with us here in CTOS.
And you provide information not only on the individual level, but also for companies, right, for SMEs.
Absolutely. So we cover that all areas. We cover the consumer information. We cover SME information. In fact, we can get information on any company anywhere in the world.
Oh, okay. So you actually almost offer a global service.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then, which brings me to my next question. How do you collate and collect all this data to come up with what is a credit score, right? Is it some fancy algo or some fancy computer program?
Sure. So the first thing is, how do we collect the data? So we get access to a range of data from different sources. Some of it's B2B. So we have access to, obviously, to CCRIS and other B2B databases. Some of it's quite manual. We have a team of people that keys in all the information that's published in the newspapers as well. So a whole range of activities. We have subscribers, SME subscribers, who give us their lists of debtors and defaulters as well. So all that information is gathered. And then we do have quite a sophisticated tool that summarizes all that information to a three-digit number, and that's a score.
Because there's this human element involved, is there the potential for error in the data collected then, or an omission, for example?
Yeah, obviously we try and minimize that as much as we can, but because we rely on people to give us information, sometimes there are mistakes and sometimes there are errors. We can't avoid those, but we have a lot of systems in place to make sure we minimize that as much as possible.
Because in the past, I'm sure there are errors, right? Or perhaps information posted which isn't up to date. Let's say I wasn't the best borrower once upon a time and I defaulted on something.
I can't believe that for a second.
No, it's possible. And you know, but I'm much better, so I pay up all my installments.
Yeah.
But the CTOS score still reflects that I'm a bad paymaster. So how do I correct this? Because it might cause me financial loss if, let's say, I'm going to apply for a future loan.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. I'm glad you asked that. And that's one of the things that we've been working a lot on the last few years, and that's financial literacy. It's information to consumers to make sure they know what we have. And so we offer a service where people can get access to all the information that we have on them. If it's wrong, let us know, we'll change it. If it's not up to date, let us know, we'll update it.
But that's provided I pay you the 99 ringgit a year, right?
In fact, we do send out free reports every year as well. So everyone's entitled to a free report under the CRE Act. We do offer a paid service because there's quite a lot of work involved in collating all that information on you. But just yesterday, we launched a new product called CTOS Secure ID. It has a range of functions, which we can talk about later, but also includes 4 free score reports a year.
Okay. We'll come back to these new products later on in the program. But sure. I want to ask, if let's say I still think that there's an error in the report,
yep.
How do I go about challenging you? Because is it man against the company? You know, who's the final arbitrator?
Yeah, look, the final arbitrator is always the consumer. So if you think there's an issue, you let us know. You can contact us. You can contact us by the web. You can go into one of our branches and you can tell us what the issue is. We'll have a look at the evidence. We'll ask for the evidence of why it's in there in the first place. And if you've got contra evidence or updated information, we will definitely update it.
And now we know that you have lots of data on people out there, you know, huge amounts on also on companies. I want to know how safe is all that data that you've collected? Because even the likes of Facebook, Instagram have had data breaches. Same with banks, Capital One in the US.
Yep.
And you can't say these guys don't invest in the most expensive, sophisticated software, hire the best people to make sure their systems are protected. So what do you do?
Yeah, look, we do heavily invest in IT. It's our biggest capital expenditure every year is investing in IT to protect the data that we have. And it's an ongoing battle. Every year, it's more and more. So we don't sit back and wait. Unlike some of these other organizations you talked about, data is our business. We get it wrong, we're finished.
So, and in the past, you have been sued for defamation, haven't you?
Yeah, different story, but defamation, we've been sued. We haven't lost, but we've been sued. And that's not unusual because people feel aggrieved when their information's wrong. But like I said, we're trying to educate consumers to make sure the information is correct and that they do something about it.
But what about hacking then, though? Like you I mean, how do you prevent that from happening? It's an ongoing battle for every company involved in technology.
Absolutely right. And hacking is a real issue. And that's why we invest so much money every year. A big chunk of our profits go straight back into IT.
Do you have a fixed percentage?
We don't have a fixed percentage. We do what's necessary. There are new regulations that come out all the time. For example, there's new RMIT requirements from banks that we have now didn't think about a year ago that we now have to meet. So it's a continual process.
The other question I have is in terms of who you give your data to. Right. As a consumer, how do I know that you're not giving it to the wrong person who requests for it?
Yeah, so only information can be given to someone once they've consented to that information to go out. So if it's a bank, they've got to have the consent from you to get that information. So we don't give it to anybody. It's got to be you driving that process.
Because I have seen, maybe not for you, but one of your competitors, which warns that there are these online scams out there, right?
Scams are a big issue. And that's why just yesterday, part of our new product, CTOS Secure ID, was about detecting scams and preventing scams and fraud.
Because there are people who represent that, let's say they're from CTOS and want some personal information and people don't know any better, right?
Yeah. We will never do that. We never approach people and say, hey, give us your information. That's never going to happen.
But how do you stop people from pretending that they're from CTOS?
It's a bit hard to stop people from pretending. But what I would say is that if someone does approach you, don't give them any information. The same way that the banks say, if someone pretends to be a bank, don't give them your PIN or password. Same from CTOS. Don't give people who are not authorised the information. And, you know, make sure you know what's happening.
And, you know, Dennis, CTOS does get its fair share of bad rap, I would say, right? I mean, I have heard people myself blame the company when they get declined for a loan or credit card. But I would say it's not really your fault, right? It's their own fault. Am I being too harsh? Because you just collate data out there, right?
You're absolutely right. So a couple of things. One is we don't make decisions for lenders. We give them information. And to be fair, each lender has different policies on what they will and won't accept.
So you're not involved in any blacklisting of anybody?
No, it's a common theme for CTOS. I know when I first came to join CTOS, some people would call us, even media would call us a blacklist company. It's just not true. We don't have a blacklist. We just have a range of information, some good, some not so good on people. And we provide that when the consumer wants us to provide that.
So actually, on a flip side, can you help people in improving the financial health?
Absolutely.
Because Malaysia, one thing we have is that we have high household debt, which remains stubbornly high, above 80%. And of course, that's a cause of concern, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. So, you know, we want to make sure that our consumers, our customers are educated. And so we've done over 50 roadshows last year. We work with nearly all of the government agencies to educate people. We've done a lot of work in trying to make sure that people do have a look at their financial health and they do understand it. And I think that's important.
So because the service is free, you're basically encouraging just sign up, have a look at what your own score is like.
So you can sign up for free. If you want to get a full CTOS score report, there is a charge to that of 25 ringgit. But like I said, this new product, CTOS Secure ID, has four of those reports for free. Plus you get dark web monitoring, which is really where you look for scams and things.
Okay. And now this is where I find things a little bit ironic because, yeah, you know, you do say that you're helping people improve their financial health. But on your website, there is this link to help me find a better loan or credit card also.
Yep.
So on one hand, you advocate better financial literacy and health, but then are you egging people on to take maybe a financial product they don't need, like selling sweets on a healthy lifestyle portal?
Look, debt, there's nothing wrong with debt for people who can afford it, right? I mean, the reality is you wouldn't be in your home or in your car without probably borrowing some money. So getting debt to the right people for the right reasons at the right time is healthy. I mean, you need to establish a history of how you repay debt to get more debt later in life. And I think that's a big problem here in Malaysia. We know there are over 2 million people here in Malaysia that don't have any bank accounts, that are unbanked. And that's a big issue for them. It means future, they'll struggle to get a loan if they want to buy a house.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Dennis Martins, Group CEO of CTOS. Up next, what's their strategy for growth, taking a peek into their financials also, especially since the competition just heated up? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. This morning, joining us in the studio is Dennis Martin, Group CEO of CTOS. Just a moment ago, we were asking, how safe is our data with them? And do credit scores really help improve the financial health of Malaysians? Now, Dennis, what's next for CTOS in terms of products or services? Because the competitive landscape just got hotter. So tell me a little bit about this dark web, this ominous word you just mentioned.
Yeah, look, and it is ominous, and that's a good description for it, because I don't think people understand that information, when it gets hacked, that information gets sold. And where does it get sold? It gets sold on this piece of the internet that you and I don't get access to called the dark web. So we've just launched a new product called CTOS Secure ID, which allows people to monitor whether their information, their name, their passport numbers, their IC, their credit card numbers, their bank account numbers are for sale in the dark web. And you'll be able to do something about it if you are.
And of course, this is a paid-for service, right?
Yeah, it's 99 ringgit a year or 990 a month.
Okay. Are there any other products you're kind of looking to launch in 2020 then?
Absolutely. So one of the big movers that's supported by the government is the digitalization.
Yeah, it's a very difficult word.
The digital banking environment. We've produced a new product called eKYC, which allows digital onboarding of customers. So you can sit in your lounge at home and you can sign up for a new bank account or a new bank loan without ever having to go into the branch and get your thumbprint done. So that's just being adopted now. It's a strong strategy driven by Bank Negara to enable that to happen.
And you know, when you were here on BFM last, it was of course on another show called Ringgit and Cents. But at that time, you said you were looking into using alternative data to determine credit scores. So I think there was a look into social media, psychometric scores, you know, how you use your phone. Has that product been launched already? Yeah. Because that's for the underbanked, right, or the unbanked.
Absolutely right. So that's that 2 million more people that I was talking about earlier. There has been some changes in that space. So, you know, there are a number of ways we can provide information that will tell you whether someone's credit worthy. The social side, that's gotten more difficult. Facebook, for example, have now restricted access. So a lot of those companies that provided social scores have gone. Psychometric scores, which is where you do a survey, takes too long, and Malaysians don't like that. But the traditional way of providing alternative data is with alternative data sources. And we're working with all the telcos here in Malaysia to get their information so that we can generate a score so that these people who are unbanked can have some credit profile when they go see a bank.
But that's just based on their telco habits.
Their telco
habits. Is
that
robust enough in terms
of
giving a financial score?
This is a proven way of doing it. It's not new. It's certainly new for Malaysia, but it's not new globally. In fact, throughout the region, this is already in play. But telco just is one part of that. We'll add more data as and when we can. But having someone's transaction history on their, particularly on their prepaid or
postpaid
phone, allows us to really understand, can they afford this? You know, do they have a good track record of paying their debts off on time?
And how soon do you think you're going to launch this product?
Yeah, that will be launched in the next couple of months. So watch the space.
Okay, and then going back to the competition, because Experian, they acquired the controlling stake in RAM Credit, right?
Correct.
Okay, now, and Experian is a global leader in consumer and business credit reporting. I mean, they're listed in the FTSE, so a real competitor in the field of credit reporting with very deep pockets. So, do you expect a tough fight ahead? Because, I mean, they've come out to say that they're looking, the Malaysia's their fourth foothold in this region.
Yeah, I hope they do. I mean, good competition is healthy and it will drive us to be better, for sure. What I can say is that they've already been in the market for a long, long time. So they've just moved from a minority position to a majority position.
Yeah, taking the controlling stake, right?
They've always had the ability to put new products and solutions into the business, and they haven't. So,
but now they're in the driver's seat.
Now they're in the driving seat, but they've got a long way to go to catch up. The first thing is the data assets themselves. We've been around a lot longer. We are the only Malaysian credit bureau. You know, all the rest are foreign-owned. So we've got all that local data, that local knowledge that the locals need. And so we're driving that.
But I don't see them being it being so difficult for them to kind of copy what you're doing just because they're foreign-owned, right?
Foreign-owned is one part of it, but because of our history of being local, we've been around a lot longer, which means we've got a lot more data assets. And data is the key to our business. So if you want to build out new products and solutions, you've got to have the data to back that up, which we do. So they will be an absolute, you know, a new way of looking at things for us, but we're not scared of that at all. In fact, we welcome it.
And if there is a tough fight ahead, do you think it'll be on pricing or it will be on the products? What do you think there's, you know?
Look, I think from a product perspective, we're well ahead. I think we've got our eKYC products, we've got our consumer products, we've got our SME products already out there. And we know what the, you know, what the global players like Experian have in the marketplace. And so we've already got those same products already available, well used. So I think I'm a little concerned they may come in with a bit of a price war, absolutely. You know, that won't be good for anybody.
Upset the consumer, Dennis.
Well, no, the reality is I don't think the consumer will be their focus.
Okay. So what will their focus be on SMEs?
Big accounts, yeah. Experian globally, like all the international players, they focus on banks, insurance companies and telcos.
So you're not worried that you might lose your number one position in that in the credit reporting market?
No, not at all. I think if they could do that, they would have done it before now. So we hold a strong position. We hold 75% market share. That's been consistent. Our forecasts for the next 3 years are similar.
And since you've brought up forecasts, and I have to ask you about your financial performance, right? Because I had a look at the financial records, and it's only up to December 2018, but I would say not bad. You have revenue of 110 million ringgit with a nice profit after tax margin of 27%. So lots of money to be made in data. And so profit close to 30 million ringgit. So you make a decent amount of money. So what's next for CTOS?
Yeah, we continue to reinvest. So we invest in, as I mentioned earlier, IT is a big element for us to invest in. We continue to invest in products. So I have a roadmap now that lasts for years of new products that I want to bring into Malaysia, and that will take money and time. So we continue to grow. We continue to reinvest. And we'll see what the future holds in terms of ownership structure of CTOS.
So do you think you can maintain this kind of profit margins and also growth for 20? Well, you probably know because 2019 already ended.
Yeah, 2019 was another strong year for us, similar sort of numbers, growth numbers. 2020, we're expecting even stronger growth. So
what kind of growth are you looking at?
It depends on the segment that you're talking about.
Overall for the CTOS group.
So if we hit mid-20s, I'll be pretty happy in terms of top and bottom line growth. And then we forecast that to continue to 2021 as well.
Okay, I ask all these financial questions because your major shareholder of CTOS is Credor, right?
Correct, yep.
It's the private equity fund run by the very savvy Bramal Vasudevan.
Absolutely, a legend.
Yeah, he of the Old Town Coffee, GHL and Mr. DIY fame. Now, he bought 70% in 2014 for 215 million ringgit, right? Now, he was quoted in a Star article in 2014, then soon after the acquisition, that he was prepared to hold CTOS for 5 to 10 years and then maybe do a listing. But now it's past the 6-year mark. So what is the plan? Because you more than adequately meet the Bursa requirements for listing.
Absolutely. And to be fair, Credor took another 10%, so they're now at 80% ownership. And the reason they took that is because they can see the value that we're bringing to the organisation. We're a strong growth company with strong fundamentals. And I think that's exciting for Bramal. I think he sees this as a very, very good business to be in, which is why he's held it for so long. And he has no immediate plans or no decisions yet on when he will exit. As the company continues to grow, why would he want to? So there are always options open for him, whether one of the big global players comes in and invests in CETOS or whether it lists. There's all things that he could look at in the future.
But because you don't need, do you need any capital for expansion then?
No, we're okay for capital. You know, we may need some as we continue to bring in new products and as we continue to invest in IT. And that's something we'll think about.
But because he's a private equity man, right? They're yep. always looking at the end game, right? It's all about monetizing their investment. So yeah. isn't there pressure in a way to kind of maybe grow your numbers even more substantially so you can list on a better valuation?
Actually, for Brummel and for Creator, I think it's a little different. And that would be a typical view for me of a PE firm. But if you go back to our foundations of when they bought into CETOS, they actually were prepared to reinvest profit back into the company and not grow at all for a couple of years, knowing that the long game was there. So there is obviously pressures to keep growing and to do the right thing, but it's not what you'd usually expect from a PE firm. I think they're more interested in making sure that we do the right thing for the people, for Malaysia, and for the company. I know it's odd,
yeah,
but it's
true. Sounds like a social enterprise, which is contradictory to, I would say, a private equity fund.
I would say that Creator has a big social conscience. I mean, they have the Creator Foundation, for example, which looks to help the nation. So, yeah, they do have a social conscience, believe it or not, and they have invested in us. When they will exit, I can't tell you for sure.
So are there any other KPIs that have been put on you for 2020, 2021 then that
yeah,
we should
absolutely.
Know about?
One of the things, we've done such a good job at CETOS. The people there are fantastic. The team is strong. The products are strong. We know they're world class. And we want to bring that to the region. So we are looking at regional expansion. And shortly we'll be able to announce that we have made an investment in another country to bring the CETOS expertise into that country within the region, and we're looking to do more. So regional expansion is certainly one of those things we're looking to do.
And this is in ASEAN itself?
In ASEAN itself, yeah.
And just curious, is it very competitive outside Malaysia then?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a competitive industry for sure. But the reality is you can't have too many CRAs in a country, otherwise everything gets diluted. So normally in a country you'll get two or three CRAs and they all do well.
Okay, on that note, thank you for your time, Dennis, to tell us about CETOS. I'm Wong Shaoning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.